in the limelight.
The world's major oil forecasters, the International Energy Agency, the U.S. Energy Information Administration, and the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, slowly began to factor the coronavirus into their outlooks, initially seeing its impact limited to China. But by April, it was apparent that the disease was spreading rapidly elsewhere. Forecasts for 2020 oil demand were slashed, and they haven't recovered much in subsequent months, as the statistic chart shows. Oil consumption this year is now expected by all three to be about 10 million barrels a day below the volumes they were forecasting at the end of last year, enough to fuel all of Africa and Latin America. Producers were slow to respond. Seemingly differences between OPEC and its allies sparked a production free-for-all after Russia refused in March to agree to deeper output cuts to help prop up oil supplies. They regrouped the following month and eventually agreed to a record 9.7 million barrels a day reduction from the start of May. We now present you an article written by Julian Lee. The piece is titled, Oil's Vaccine Trade Faces Hurdles Ahead. The article has appeared on the front page of the Bloomberg.com website. Please stay with us for more of Julian Lee's article. It's easy to get caught up in oil's recovery. After an exceptionally fraught year, hopes are high that putting 2020 soundly behind us can only mean better days. But there's still a long way to go to get back to anything like normal. That hard reality didn't stop crude prices from rising by $14 a barrel, or 37% since the beginning of November. That's when trial data showed vaccines were proving effective against SARS-CoV-2, followed by the rapid rollout of the first doses in the United Kingdom and the United States. There's a sense of optimism that hasn't been felt since the world woke up early in the year to a new disease that infected many more people around the world. The relief being felt in the oil market is understandable. As the virus spread, it had a devastating impact on lives and livelihoods. The only tool most governments had to slow contagion was to shut down their economies, causing an unprecedented slump in oil demand. The world's major oil forecasters, the International Energy Agency, the U.S. Energy Information Administration, and the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, slowly began to factor the virus into their outlooks, initially seeing its impact limited to China. But by April, it was apparent that the disease was spreading rapidly elsewhere. Forecasts for 2020 oil demand were slashed, and they haven't recovered much in subsequent months, as statistics charts shows. Oil consumption this year is now expected by all three to be about 10 million barrels a day below the volumes they were forecasting at the end of last year, enough to fuel all of Africa and Latin America. Producers were slow to respond. Seemingly differences between OPEC and its allies sparked a production free-for-all after Russia refused in March to agree to deeper output cuts to help prop up oil prices. They regrouped the following month and eventually agreed to a record 9.7 million barrels a day reduction from the start of May. Further supply cuts came from producers outside of OPEC Plus group, as budgets were slashed and some operations didn't make economic sense anymore. US crude production, which had already peaked in November of last year, fell by 2.7 million barrels a day, or 21%, between March and May of this year. Around one-third of that has been restored in subsequent months. This sluggish response sent oil stockpiles soaring. Storage tanks filled. Ships were pressed into service to hold excess volumes and spare capacity at Cushing, Oklahoma, the delivery point for a West Texas intermediary crude contract, dwindling briefly, sending prices tumbling into negative territory for the first time ever. By the end of October, oil stockpiles in the developed nations of the OECD were still above the peak reached during the 2016 surge that preceded the formation of OPEC Plus, even though they had been falling for the previous 3 months. Production discipline among the OPEC Plus producers, who've been kept in line by main producing countries, has created the supply deficit needed to draw down stockpiles. Although the cartel's de facto leaders haven't called out the group's second largest overproducers in volume terms, they have been prepared to ruffle feathers closer to home, singling out some countries like the United Arab Emirates for failing to abide by their production targets. As a result, the group's overall compliance with its output targets has been better than anyone expected. But there's still a long way to go. The latest forecasts from the three agencies show global oil demand lagging the corresponding 2019 levels throughout next year. And that's even with all the positive vaccine news. And the outlook's getting worse, not better. OPEC's own analysts have cut their forecasts for 2021 oil demand with each new report since July, when they first began publishing quarterly numbers for next year. The demand recovery is patchy, both geographically and sectorally, and it's likely to stay that way. It's also going to be very susceptible to the ups and downs of the battle to defeat the coronavirus pandemic. Tighter restrictions are once again in place in much of Europe and in some significant markets in Asia. New cases are rising in South Korea, although the country is not yet at the point of lightening social distancing rules, while a fresh wave of infections is causing challenges for Japan's fragile recovery. Different recovery speeds for different products are creating their own challenges for the refining sector, while diesel demand is picking up as online shopping boosts the need for delivery trucks. Jet fuel consumption is still being hammered, with commercial flights stuck at about 60% of comparable levels last year. Those disparities are unlikely to change anytime soon, with many people likely to remain wary of flying for months to come. The approval of effective vaccines marked the beginning of a post-pandemic world, but we'd be foolish to think that just because we can see a finish line, it means we've actually reached it. There's still a long way to go, and the next few months will be tricky, both for the people's health and well-being, and for economies around the world, and also for the oil sector.